Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Good morning again, church family. Our scripture this morning is a couple of verses in Matthew. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest."
Happy Sabbath. It's good to be here again. I want to make a quick question to you today. Did anybody notice what the title of the sermon today? And help me out here. Since I'm not a native English speaker, what does riding shotgun means? Yeah, ride on the front seat, on the passenger seat. Like, that was a tough one for me to get it. Like, I had to look on the dictionary, Google on the internet to understand what's riding shotgun. And that was like many years ago, decades ago, when I first arrived here in this country. Because there were several expressions that people used that they were not really English, but they had a meaning. And the meaning went beyond the words, because riding shotgun on my mind, how somebody's gonna ride a shotgun? Like, because shotgun is a gun, so like, I imagine somebody like in a broomstick, something like that. And then I learned that had a different meaning. And but how many of you know from where that expression came from? Go ahead, Greg. Exactly. That was like from the days of the diligences, like when on the wide west, like when people need protection. So there was the driver, and there was somebody riding shotgun with to protect against whoever dangers were there. And why I choose that sermon? It's because, and you notice that the sermon comes with a question. Did God really call shotgun? Is this what God is asking you to ride alongside you? And that's not a rhetorical question. I want to answer. Who wants to share? What do you think? Is God really wants to ride alongside with us on our life? Is that his call for us? Nobody? Okay. Thank you.
I believe that God would like us to hand over the reins or the steering wheel.
Exactly. God does not want to ride shotgun with us. He never asked that question. He wants to sit on the driver's seat. The problem is that we don't want him to sit on the driver's seat. We want his protection. If the Indians come, we want somebody shooting the Indians. If the robbers come, we want somebody shooting the robbers. But we don't want God to lead the way. We want to go wherever we want to go. And we don't want God on control. We may say we want, but in practice, we don't do that, do we? Like we usually live, we are comfortable in leaving God on the passenger seat, taking care of any problems we have in life. But we don't want him driving our life. And that's why I named the sermon like that, because I wanted to make the question. Because while we don't realize that although we may profess be followers of Jesus, and we don't allow him to sit on the driver's seat and drive our life, we are not really disciples. We may have the name, but that's just a name. It's not what we are. So, and that's why I'm starting a new series today. The series is called Following Jesus at Any Cost, and talks about how we can follow Jesus. And I'm not satisfied with you knowing about Jesus. And we probably, as Christians and Adventists and whatever your label is, even you that are watching us through the internet, wherever your label is, we love this book. We read this book every day, at least we should. We may get a lot of information about Jesus, but we may be walking with as a Christian for decades and not really know Jesus. And that's not a good position to be. That's why over the course of the next few weeks that I'll be preaching here, we're gonna look in what takes to be a real follower of Jesus. What's the invitation he's making us? And how we, as his disciples, can answer to that invitation. And I don't want you to miss that journey. So plan ahead to be here so we don't miss any one of those steps. And why I say that? Because looking to my own life, from where I came from and where I am today, Jesus brings so much positive change on me. Like, he affects the way I deal with people, the way I deal with my family, the way I deal with difficult people that I meet on my life. And he gives me hope when I feel hopeless. He helps me and leads me daily. And time and time again, he forgives me. Because, as any of you, I'm also a sinner, and I make mistakes. And although sometimes I feel inadequate, he forgives me and he washes me clean every day. And that's why I love him, and I have a desire to follow him even closer. And I want you to also go on that path of loving him and following him closer and closer. I traveled to almost all continents. I actually have preached in all the continents but the poles. Never preached for penguins or for Eskimos. So, but all the rest I have covered. And throughout my travels, like, I never found anybody that loved Jesus as I love. But before you start to throw stones on me, I'm not saying this because I'm special. Quite contrary. I'm just a regular guy. The thing is that the relationship with Jesus is personal. So nobody loves Jesus in the way I love because you're a different person. So even if you love Jesus in the same intensity, or even a bigger intensity than I love, your love is different because your experience is different. The reasons why you love him, the reasons why you follow him are different. And the way he speaks with you is different. So every journey on this path of following Jesus is different. Although we may be on the same road, we walk different paths. That's why I won't not say what you have to do, but I'm going to give you principles. We're going to study the Bible together to understand what are those principles that are involved in this call of Jesus to follow him. And before we go any further, I want to start by praying. We have to call the Holy Spirit to be here with us. And as we open the Bible, let's open also our hearts to hear his voice. So let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we are so thankful because you gave us life. You gave us another day that we can seek to find you. Another day that we can reconcile with you and get closer in a walk with you. You also gave us the opportunity to come together to this church to study the Bible together, either in person or through the internet. Help us as we open your word to understand your call for us today. Not in a generic way, but in a personal, individual way, what you're calling us today to do. Bless us with your Holy Spirit. Help us to empty our minds of our own ideas and prejudices. Help us to empty ourselves so we can be vessels to your Holy Spirit. Fill us in and help us to hear your words. That's what we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's start our journey today with a Bible passage. Let's start by reading Matthew 11:28. The text, I think, should be on the screen. Yeah, there we go. And it says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." What this text tells you? For me, the text illustrates a call that sometimes is too good to be true. God is offering us something and asking nothing in return. It's interesting. I told you about how I learned how driving shotgun means, but that was the second expression I learned. The first expression I learned, what it meant, was like, where is the catch? And that kind of reminds me of that offer, like, where is the catch? Like, that's too good to be true. Many people, they don't follow because they think, oh, there must have something on there. Like what I'm telling you, you don't have to believe it, but if you try it, you're going to see that's true. Try it. There's no catch. He is giving you what you need, and he's promising you. Not that you don't have problems. That's not what he's promising. That he's not promising that money will fall from heaven, everything will be rosy, like all the days will be sunny days, no more winter. Nobody says amen for no more in winter. That's not what he's promising. He's actually saying, when those things arrive, the things that upset you, and he says in another text, that in the world you're going to have afflictions, you're going to have problems, but be of good cheer because I overcame the world. So he's not promising you that you're going to have a rosy life, but he's promising that if you have problems, if you have something that upset you, just leave this to him. Leave all your burdens to him, and he's going to lift those burdens up, and you don't have to carry them. Because that frees us to concentrate in answering his call to serve him. And was that understanding that transformed the disciples? Like, that made them accept Jesus' call and start to preach about him. Because they understood how big was this. When I got that first computer, I was asking for a long time. It was one Christmas morning that I received it. I unwrapped it, and there it was, like glowing, at least in my sight. And I took it, and what do you think I did? Hid under my bed? No. I hooked up on the TV, see if it worked. It worked. So I call all my friends, my neighbors, my cousins, my cat, everybody needed to see it because that was the big news for me. And that was the same sentiment the disciples had. They discovered those big news, like this promise. Wow, Jesus can change my life. And if it changed my life, others have to hear that too. And that prompted them to preach in now the known world, all the known countries of the time, they heard about it. And that's why Acts 17, verse 6 tells us that they turned the world upside down because everybody heard about Jesus. And they didn't have internet, no TV stations, no radio stations, no telephone, no anything. So they didn't have anything. And why? They could do. And sometimes we, living on the 21st century, we have TV stations, we have radio stations throughout the world, we have internet, we have printing presses, we have, you name it, things that they never dreamed of. And sometimes we seem to be lacking that power. So, let me make another question then. Why we lack that power today? Why you don't see this type of thing happen in this day and age? One at a time. Nobody wants to share? Paul?
There are so many other distractions in this life that take us away from it.
Yeah, that's a good, very good point. Anything else besides the distractions? Brenda?
I think we don't ask.
We don't ask? That's true. Somebody here on the back?
From what I see a lot of in today's society, with so many things that we have that have made life so much easier for us, I see that the human race feels they are able to sustain themselves. They're able to do things and not really need someone to be there and to ask for it and everything because they got everything. You know, what am I needing now? And I think that's a big thing with the day and age today. So many things.
Yeah, that's
that are there to supply us, and so they just feel that there's no need.
That's a good point. We mentioned there's somebody over there.
I feel like it's similar to when we were when the Israelites crossed the Red Sea versus the Jordan River.
Mm-hmm.
Not always do we need the same kind of assistance from God, and it's always to build our faith. We have so many examples in the Bible of what God has done in the past, and perhaps those examples in our own lives are not necessary to grow our faith. They are. In many cultures, those miracles continue to happen, and more so than we read in the Bible many times.
Yeah, that's true.
So perhaps all of these reasons, but maybe that's one.
That's true. Like, there's many places that those things are still happening, those miracles and stuff. But it's also true that we have many distractions. It's also true that sometimes they don't happen because we don't ask. It's also true that they don't happen because we don't feel the need. We have so much stuff. Go ahead.
Sometimes we're so busy that we don't stop and reflect and recognize the things that God has done for us. You know, sometimes when we just stop and we're praying and we're meditating and we're reflecting and counting our blessings, we realize the miracles that he's done for us that we might not otherwise realize.
That's true. That's very true. And there's something else that at least was for me that nobody else mentioned. Is I'm an unbeliever. Like, I thought there was a catch on this. Like, because for me, didn't seem logical. Like, at that point on my experience with Jesus, like, Everybody else that offered me something needed something in return. And Jesus was not asking anything. Before he asked anything, he offers all. So that for me was too much. I had to know Jesus a little better to really understand he was talking seriously. And today, we're going to see the meeting of two iconic figures on the Bible, Jesus and Peter. And as I'm going to retell the story. We're going to read the Bible, but before we read the critical pieces of that story, since the story is well known, I'm going to tell that story with my own words, but I'm going to ask you a favor. I want you to personalize that story, to put yourself on the story. As I talk about Peter, imagine you are there, either working with Peter or you are Peter. Like, because in a way, that encounter is descriptive of our own experience with Jesus. We, in a way, we are modern-day Peters. We may not be fishermen. We may be teachers, we may be engineers, we may be doctors. But he calls us, nonetheless, to follow him with whatever baggage we have and to use everything we learn through life. And even our own defects, things that we think would be a handicap, to follow him. So, as I tell the story, imagine that you were there. If you need to close your eyes, you can close it. I will not look mad at you thinking you're sleeping. I'm giving you permission to. And if you need to sleep, now is a good time. So, the story starts like this. They were coming from a morning of fishing. They are tired. Imagine the story. Peter is now at the beach, sun into his face. He's feeling the breeze. His toes are in the sand. He's now like stretching his net. He throws the net here. He throws the net there. He's satisfied with his work because that's a work that he knows very well. He was trained for it by his father. He had all the skills and was a very predictable life because he knew as long as he gets fish, he can eat and he can bring food to his table. And he was there. He was happy. He was on the end of his day, but always on the back of his mind, as is today in the back of our minds. Is there something else in life? Is there something else in life than just go to work, go back to work, sleep, go to Sabbath to the church? That was the thoughts that he was roaming to his mind. As he was thinking about the pleasures of fishing and what he enjoyed to do it, he was so immersed in his thoughts that he didn't see a rabbi approaching. That was quite unique because most rabbis, they are used to be on their classrooms, on their teaching rooms, like breathing that recycled air. They expect their students to come where they are, but this one was different. He went where his future disciples were. He went seeking after them. That morning, that special teacher walked towards Peter. They talked, they did a few things together. And all of a sudden, once Peter was like overjoyed with his catch, like the best catch of his own life, entire life, he calls him. He calls, "Peter, follow me." You could see the frightened eyes of Peter because he knew that somebody was special. But he also knew himself. And he started to think, does this guy know who I am? Does he know I'm a troublemaker? Does he know I'm a short-fused guy? Does he know I'm going to cause so much problems? And sometimes we are like that too. Like, we look to Jesus, so holy and perfect. And we look to ourselves like, what Jesus saw in me. And as if he knew what was passing through Peter's head, Peter's mind, and he knew it. He said, you, come. Peter was thinking, me? And he said, no, you, come. And think about it. Somebody as important and famous was Jesus, because he was preaching for over a year when he met Peter. Peter was not one of his, Peter was one of his first disciples, but he was already preaching for almost a year. So he had already a fame and people knew him. And he started to think like, me? Perhaps the first thought that came to Peter's mind is like, am I in trouble? Because this guy seems to know everything. And so am I in trouble? And when he was asked, follow me, he couldn't believe. He could not help to think about his past misdeeds, all the guilt and shame that he carried. And he was just an ordinary fisherman with a lot of baggage. As are we. We are just ordinary wherever you are. And also we have a lot of baggage. And Jesus knows it all. And as he did with Peter, he invites us to follow him too. Because here is the catch. It's not about us. It's about him. And Peter was just a common, ordinary fisherman looking for more. And if you are just a common, ordinary person looking for more, that invitation is for you too. So, like you and me, we are ordinary nurses, doctors, engineers, computer guys, teachers, you name it. And we have something to learn through this experience. And in order for us to understand this better, we need to answer a couple of questions together and as we read the Bible together as well. But let me make you a question first. What makes you walk towards somebody or someone? What attracts you to some people, some ideology? And what did make Jesus interesting to Peter? That's the same question phrased in a different way. You can answer in the personal way or you can answer in Peter's. Like, what attracts you to Jesus? Or what attracted Peter to Jesus? I want to hear some answers.
Leading by example.
Leading by example. He saw Jesus' example and he wanted to be what Jesus was. What else? What else? One at a time, people. Let's organize.
He loved and wanted to follow the downtrodden, you know, the least of the society, which is a big plus.
He wanted to do different. That's a plausible. Kathy wants to talk as well. Tony?
I think he also gave peace of heart.
Peace of heart, and that's a big part of it. That's the promise that we just saw in the beginning. What else?
Jesus was caring, and so people are attracted to those who are caring.
Jesus is caring. Like on my Sabbath school, I made a comment that's very appropriate for now as well. Like, people can argue with doctrine, but people cannot argue with love. And love overwhelms people to the point that they want to follow who has demonstrated such love. Go ahead.
Jesus gravitated towards the outcasts of the society, the lepers and the poor people that the rabbis paid no attention to.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because Jesus, he went to people that were considered undesirables on the society. And that means that there's no boundaries to God's love. There's somebody here?
Yeah, I guess one of the things that, I mean, yes, Jesus goes to the outcast. He's loving and all these things. But if you get all of those reasons and you direct it personally, I think that when I think of Peter's story, and then when I think of my story, and then I start thinking about everybody, I think that's how it is. I mean, God is personal to each one. Jesus went and he called Peter. Like, he was talking to him directly. And I think that that's what makes it so beautiful about Jesus. Because, yes, he's love, but he's not just another person who's love at the other side of the world. But he's somebody who wants to have a relationship with you personally. So that personal aspect and how Jesus was talking to Peter and to us.
And that's something. Like, could you imagine if the mayor here of Midland want to be your friend? You would like it, right? And what about the state governor or the president? But now there is somebody that's greater than all those folks because he's the king of the universe. And although he controls everything, he wants to spend time with you and me individually. And that's the beauty of his call. So there are several reasons. All the reasons you guys mentioned, they are valid. But I think now what we should focus is why that call is important and how we can stay following him. But before we go further to my next question, we need to read the Bible a little bit. There's a text, Matthew 4, 18 to 20, that we should read together. Can you read for us, Tony? It's on the screen if you want to read.
He saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And in going from there, he saw two brothers. Do I keep going or
no,
is that
no. Follow him. We follow stop him. On the follow him. So Jesus saw them, called them, and they follow him. But my question is, what qualified Peter to be called by Jesus? What do you see here that qualified him? Nothing. That's right, nothing. Nothing. Nothing qualified Peter. Except his need. Thank you. And nothing qualifies us except our own needs. And there's people that they think they are it, as they say over here, like they think they are the last Oreo on the package. And those are the ones that feel less of a need. And when Jesus called them, why am I following this guy? But there's the other side of the spectrum, like thinking Moses. Remember the burning bush incident? Like, Moses was like, wow, God is calling me, but God, I don't speak right, I have an accent, I'm a foreigner, this, that, the other. Those were not excuses. Those were like his own recognition of his own flaws and imperfections. And that's a good point to start with, because when we know that we are broken, we can rely 100% in Jesus, knowing that if he's calling us, he's going to get us through to where he wants us to be. So, by us knowing that nothing qualifies us to follow Jesus, that's the best point to start. Because then we can humble ourselves and seek God's guidance for more. But now, let's look on this through another angle. Let's keep reading now verses in Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. Can anybody read for me? Brad? It's on the screen, so.
Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
So, what Jesus is really offering to us today? What's the deal that's on the table? He's offering peace. He's offering rest. He's offering something that looks like a oxymoron or a paradox, like a worry-free life in a worrisome world. How that is possible? How can I live a worry-free life that he's promising? If I live in a time and place that, like, problems are all around us. The real message here is that we don't need to focus in our needs. If we trust in him, that's not about us, that our needs will be taken care of in a way or the other, not perhaps on the way we wanted, but in the way we need. That brings us peace, because we know if God calls us here, he's going to get us through. And that's the kind of peace that the world does not understand. That's why the Bible says that that's the peace that surpasses understanding. Because for us, peace is the absence of problem. In Jesus' way of thinking, peace is not the absence of problem. You may be in a war zone, in the middle of a hurricane, and you can still have peace if you know that you don't live by sight and by your own power. If you know that you walk by faith and that you live by whatever God allows to befall you. When we change that paradigm in life, then we can actualize that promise in our life. When we learn that, we don't need to look for ourselves. Jesus is looking for me. Then I'm free from my burdens to look up on the well-being of others. That's the secret that the disciples discover. And for what Jesus called us then? Think on you today. For what Jesus is calling you? Like, for what Jesus called Peter? He called Peter to be a fisherman of men. What he was before? Just a regular fisherman, like, calling fish. What does that tell you? What God is calling you today? Go ahead.
That we should be reaching out and trying to find other people who don't believe as we do, reaching mm-hmm. out and teaching them about Christ.
Yes, yes. But why us? Because there is somebody out there that you, with all your good things and the bad things on your baggage, with all your history, with all that you learned through life, with your trade, with everything that you are, if you surrender to Jesus, you'll be the best person to reach that other person. Do you believe that? That there's somebody out there waiting just for you, but in order for you to access this person, you have to fully surrender to God first. because then he can lead you to those that need you in the way you are. And through this process, you get transformed. And that we're going to see in detail on the next installments of this series. But they knew, like, they didn't abandon fishing. If you go to the Gospels, you see that every now and then, every fifth time they were back to the trade. Jesus is not calling you to throw your life away. For some, he does, as it was on my case. He said, like, do something else. I stopped to work with computers and start to work for him full time. But for most of us, what he calls us is to use our trade, our profession, our contacts, our network to witness about him, to share with others what he did in our own life. And that's the invitation that's on the table with the assurance that we study today. And my last question for today is, you don't need to answer that one, but I want to think how you're going to respond. Jesus is making today the same invitation he did 2,000 years ago to Peter. He's inviting you. And he knows your background. He knows your good side and your worst side. And he loves you. And he promised that he will wash you clean if you surrender to him. He promised if you follow him, you may not drive a red Ferrari, but you're going to have what you need to do his bidding. And you're going to have what people need most those days, peace. So Jesus is calling you to follow him. How you gonna answer that call? I hope, like Peter, you come as you are. You can come to Jesus with your problems, with our addictions, with your stress, with your fears, with your anxieties. You can come to him with your guilty, with your shame. You can leave the weight of your painful memories behind. Leave to him because he wants to carry it for you. He wants to remove the pain of your painful memories. He will get rid of all those things for you in his time as you surrender to him day to day. Too often, we think we have to solve our problems before we come to Jesus. Jesus is asking us to surrender now, and he will take care of the problems for us. Once we resolve to give him the first and the last place on our life, when we give him the steering wheel. And as I close today, I want to assure you that Jesus is awesome. He accepts you as you are, but he doesn't leave you as you are. He transforms you day by day. And I want you to think now, how would you like to surrender to Jesus? What you would like to give to him? What you would like him to transform on your life? As you give your life to him today, with no excuses, no delays, I invite you to accept that call. And that invitation is for you that are here, for those that are watching to the internet, and even that's going to watch this days from now. But if you want to answer that call, I want to make a special prayer. First for me, because I want to answer that call as well. And that is a call that we need to answer every day. So if you want to answer that call, please raise your hand or stand up as I pray, because I want to pray for you. Let's pray. Dear God, we are here before you, recognizing that we have nothing that enables us to answer your call. We are sinners. We are broken people. We have baggage that sometimes wears us out as we walk, as we try to deal with the painful memories, with our traumas, with the guilt and shame of our wrongdoings. So, we ask you, dear Lord, accept us. We want to fully surrender to you, those that are standing or with their hands raised. I pray for them and for me. We are one and the same. We want you to wash us clean from our sins and cover us with your garments of righteousness. We beg you, carry us in your arms, because we are so weak that by ourselves we cannot do a thing. Help us to fully surrender our lives to you. And that's something that we cannot do by ourselves either. We need a miracle. We need your Holy Spirit to work with us without ceasing, so we can, day after day, hour after hour, surrender our lives again and again to you. Help us, dear Lord, not to feel ashamed about our past, because you already forgave us and washed us clean. You died on the cross, so our past transgressions could be nailed there and thrown on the depths of the sea. Help us to let it go from our attempts to make our own success in life. Help us to deposit at your feet our concerns, our worries, our hopes, our dreams, and everything else that's on our mind, so we can leave it with you, so you can carry this and transform us in what you want us to be. Not what we once were, but an enhanced version, a new creature born again in Christ Jesus. Help each one of us as we choose to follow your call, to remain connected to you day after day in prayer and in surrender. Help us to empty ourselves and be filled with your Holy Spirit. And leave us now in peace. Give us your peace. That's what we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you are a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.